right. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles and chapter 36. We've been laying somewhat of a groundwork for the book of Ezekiel, trying to show you the times in which Ezekiel was living in, all these people were living in, and how far from the Lord Israel and Judah had gone. And we've been looking at the reign of four kings. We've covered two of them, two brothers, Jehoahaz and his wicked reign, and we concluded his reign up with the thoughts of each man is responsible for his own sin. And if you're going to be saved, you'll be saved because of work that is done on you. Not a work that is done on mom and dad, or aunt and uncle, or brother or sister, or anyone else. But it'll be a work that is done on you. And we said, even we who genuinely are saved, just because the times are evil, and they are, and because the times are evil, believe the coming of the Lord can't be far off. But we don't know how much further the Lord's going to let it go before His coming. But just because it is evil, there's no excuse for you or I. We cannot say, well, the Lord told about this day and His word, and well, it is what it is. And I believe when we were speaking concerning that, we even mentioned the fact that that may seem strange, a strange thing to some of us to say, but I've heard folks make that similar kind of comment, as though that gives them an alibi for not being righteous and holy before the Lord. We looked at Jehoiakim last week, and again, his evil and his wicked reign. And to sum that up, we drew it to a close last week by considering the thought that we shall reap what we sow. We shall reap what we sow. Many of us have experienced that. Even that which I sowed is a unsaved individual, I'm reaping the results of that today. Tonight, we want to take a look at his son, Jehoiachin. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Let's read verses 9 and 10. Remember, Jehoiakim and Jehoahaz were brothers. They were sons of Josiah. Josiah was a good king. That is, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And the scripture says he walked in all the ways of his father David. What a testimony that is. That he walked in all the ways of David. I think later on we'll be looking, just considering that thought a little bit, but probably not tonight. Chapter 36 of 2 Chronicles in verses 9 and 10 says, Jehoiachin was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And when the year was expired, King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon with the goodly vessels of the house of the Lord, and made Zedekiah his brother king over Judah and Jerusalem. This passage of scripture says he was 8 years old. But if we turn back to the book of 2 Kings in chapter 24, in verse 8, we read, Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months, and his mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. You say, well, you say the Bible doesn't contradict itself. There's a contradiction. No, there's not a contradiction. For if you look in the Hebrew, it's the same Hebrew word as over in 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Now, I don't know why the King James translator in one place translated it 18 and another place translated it 8, but that's what they did. So how old was he? Well, I believe he was 18. The meaning of the word is that it carries out the tense, 8, and add teen to it, or add tense to it, making it 18. That's not the important thing. If you believe he was 8, you go ahead and believe he was 8. I believe he was 18, but if you want to believe he's 8, you go ahead. The important thing that we want to notice here about Jehoiachin is his wicked reign. He followed in his father's footsteps. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He followed in the footsteps of his father, which was at the same footsteps as his uncle, Jehoahaz. It was not in the footsteps of his grandfather, Josiah. You figure that if Jehoiachin was 18 years old, that would have made his father about 18 when he had him, and his father began to reign when he was 25. So that means, and his father began to reign right after Jehoahaz, and remember, Jehoahaz's reign was only 3 months. So that means Jehoiachin was alive and knew his grandpappy Josiah and witnessed his grandpappy's good reign. You see how that's important? But that good reign of his grandfather did not stick with him. He chose to follow in the steps of his father. The word of God says, 2 Kings chapter 24 and verse 9. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. All the wicked ways of Jehoiakim, and Jehoiachin walked in them. He did not turn away from the evil example. Keep that in your mind. He did not turn away from the evil example. Do we turn away from evil? It seems like the older I get, the more disgusted I get with evil, the more disgusted I get with sin, the more disgusted I get with the fact that it's everywhere you go is just flaunted there in front of you. But do we shun it? Do we turn away from it? Do we do as the scriptures say, flee? Probably my favorite example of fleeing is Joseph. Joseph. And I wonder, you men that are here, how many of you in your youth at Joseph's age would have fled the evil, the situation that was before you? Jehoiachin, because of the evil, and remember we said quite frequently the length of the king's reign was somewhat dictated by whether it was an evil reign or a good reign, but not always, because we pointed out Manasseh last week was, 41 years he reigned, and his was a bad reign. But Jehoiachin was 3 months and 10 days. 3 months and ten. There's a good one for you to study out, Brother Mike. You're always get hung up on those numbers. Why is it 3 months and 10 days? Why didn't it just say 3 months? 3 months and 10 days. You know, like Jehoahaz, his uncle, was 3 months. It says concerning Jehoiachin, his was 3 months and 10 days. In verse 9 of the 36th chapter says, Jehoiachin was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. I don't know if there's any significance in it. It's not what we're talking about tonight. Anyhow, we're looking at his evil and his wicked reign in consideration of the fact that Ezekiel is alive. And Ezekiel is probably, if not already in exile, probably in this group of people that is taken into exile. Ezekiel probably wanted to go in this group. At that time, he in Jerusalem, that is Jehoiachin in Jerusalem, had to face the formidable wrath of God. For the army of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, is coming up against him. We see this in 2 Kings chapter 24. 2 Kings in chapter 24, and look with me at verses 10 through 12. Said, at that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. And Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers, and the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. Just think about that. Little old Jerusalem and Judah. Which, mind you, if they had been continued fast in serving the Lord and been faithful to the Lord, the king of Babylon would have been no problem for them to defeat. But here, this was little Judah, little Jerusalem, against this big army of King Nebuchadnezzar, And it was. I looked at the map. Just to get an idea of his reign, and all the way from Egypt and all that region up there, Syria and Babylon. All that region, they ruled, they dominated. And here this formidable king was coming against them. Notice, did you notice that this evidently was a peaceful surrender? In fact, I couldn't help but think of this fact as we read that in verse 12. Look at verse 12. And Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers, and the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. Scaredy cat. That's what I thought of. I mean, he just folded. What kind of a king just folds? What kind of king doesn't go out and at least give a hearty fight? Not Jehoiachin. I mean, he packed up everybody in his family and went out there, surrendered, waving the white flag. Also, at this time, verse 13 tells us that Nebuchadnezzar raided the royal palace, the house of the Lord. Read verse 13 with me. And he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. I mean, yeah, this was even prophesied about. But this, I thought about that. All the vessels and all the gold and silver that was in the house of the Lord, that was in the temple that King Solomon had amassed. Was it the Queen of Bathsheba came and seen all his wealth? But she came and she didn't come to see his wealth. She came to see about the man and his wisdom. Because his wisdom had spread to her ears, and she had to see for herself. And I think about the wealth that was amassed under Solomon. And then Hezekiah accumulated a great mass of wealth in the temple and in his palace. And remember, he had people from an enemy come and look on all his wealth, and the Lord rebuked him for it. As we said, this was prophesied before. This was prophesied in the book of 2 Kings in chapter 20. And some of this we may have read last week, so if it sounds familiar, yeah, we did read some of these verses last week. In verses 16 and 18, we read, "And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon, nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." You can read that again in the book of Isaiah in the 39th chapter. We won't turn there and read it because it's almost word for word identical to what is told us there in the Kings. Now, in considering Jehoiachin's evil and wicked reign, and the fact that he had witnessed his grandfather's good reign, But he had an uncle. And he had a father whose reign was evil and wicked. But nonetheless, Jehoiachin was responsible. He was responsible to rule godly. He was responsible to rule in righteousness. But he didn't shun the evil. We would say he delighted in evil. Let us not follow evil examples. No matter who it may be. No matter who it may be that's pursuing the evil. Let us not pursue evil. It's evil, easy to look around us and say, oh, our nation is so evil and so wicked. And it would be so easy to fall in and just do the evil and wickedness right along with them. Doesn't matter if it's your father or mother. Your brother or your sister. Your spouse. Church member. God forbid, your pastor. Wicked examples are not to be followed. We're to stand up for righteousness. We're to stand up from holiness. We're to be separate. We're to be different. We're the people of the Lord. We're to act like people of the Lord. You see, some of this stuff has hit close to my home, to my family. I have, besides myself, I have five sisters. Four natural sisters, two that were actually cousins that were brought in as babies and raised in our home. Me and my sister that was here are the only two that are serving the Lord in the Lord's kind of church. I can't say whether the others are saved or not. Well, I call her my baby sister. I hear that she's being a lot more faithful in church now. Been a lot of years. I mean, it was maybe once a month. We have to follow the Lord. I'm responsible to follow the Lord. You see, I can't live their lives for them. I can hurt because they're not. I can pray for them. But I'm still responsible to shun the evil, shun the wickedness, and do that which I know is right before the Lord. Turn with me to the book of Leviticus in chapter 20. And this is what the Lord told His people in the Old Testament, His people Israel. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 23, He said, "And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things and therefore I abhorred them. You want to know what things they committed? You go back to the 18th chapter. And you read the 18th, 19th, and 20th chapters. In fact, next week, I believe we'll get into it. We'll read some of it from the 18th chapter. Now, those sins weren't to be named among the people of the Lord. They were to be different. You see, the Lord was driving those nations that were in there. He was driving them out because of that very sin, because of that evil and that wickedness. Remember last week, we even looked at a couple of the kings there said he did worse than the people that the Lord drove out before them. I was said concerning Manasseh, wasn't it? Turn with me Luke chapter 21. Verse 34. Jesus said here, he said, and take heed to yourselves. Bring near. Take heed. He said to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged, be weighed down. Be weighed down with what? Surfeiting. You know what surfeiting is? Hungover. Giddiness. Headache. Caused by intoxication. And drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. What day? The day of the Lord. The day of His return. Listen, we're not to be living like the rest of the world. We're to shun evil. We're to take heed. Put it away from us. But that day, the day of the Lord, doesn't come on us unawares. Catch us by surprise. You ever think about when you're misbehaving? Lord might come right then. Would you like the Lord to come and catch you in that situation? Second Corinthians chapter 6. This is what he told the nation of Israel. Verse 17, and then he tells it to his church again. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. In other words, the Lord's not going to be a father unto them because they've done that. The fact that they're doing that, the fact that they come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing, and their manner of life and behavior gives evidence that He is their Father. Is my life, is your life giving evidence that He is my Father? Am I shunning evil? Am I shunning wickedness? Are people seeing that I'm a child of God? Are they seeing Jesus Christ in me? Going back to the book that we're studying, The book of Ezekiel. Chapter 20. Verse 18. Ezekiel is here rehearsing with these Israelites that are in exile. He said in verse 18, "But I said unto their children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols." In other words, your fathers did that. Your fathers didn't follow me. Your fathers didn't trust me. Your father didn't believe me. Walk not as they walked. She said that we as children have a responsibility to shun evil. Even if that evil was in our father and our mother. Jehoiachin had a responsibility to shun evil. Not to walk in the sins of his father. Here's our responsibility. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy." You notice there's no W in front of that. It's holy. It's separated. It's different. It's sanctified unto God, which is your reasonable, logical. As a child of God, it's what's logical for you as a child of God. Service. "And be not conformed to this world." Oh, there's so many Christians today that are conformed to the world. They're just like the world. Is that me? Is that you? "But be ye transformed, changed, renewed." We're a new creature. We ought to live like we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. "By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What's your life proving? What's my life proving? Is it showing forth the goodness and the acceptable will of God? Well, we got through one again tonight. Next week we'll conclude, well, maybe next week we'll conclude with the fourth. We'll see how the Lord leads. Mattaniah, or we know him better as Zedekiah. Shall we stand, be dismissed in a word of prayer? Brother Ron, would you dismiss us, please? Our missionaries.
Thank you.